Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Jonah 4, 1-11. The prophecy of Jonah, chapter 4, the verses 1-11. And the title of this passage is Jonah's anger at the Lord's compassion. But to Jonah this seemed very wrong and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade to his head to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" My theme for reflection is when compassion crosses the line. When compassion crosses the line. Have you ever felt upset because something went too well for someone else, especially someone you dislike? Perhaps your childhood nemesis received a scholarship you did not, or the co-worker who always takes credit earned the promotion. There is something deeply human and admittedly petty within us that sometimes wants to be the only one who wins. Jonah understands. By the time we reach Jonah 4, we are no longer surprised by Nineveh's repentance. That was already astonishing. What shocks us now is Jonah's reaction. He is furious because of God's compassion. God has just spared 120,000 people from destruction, and Jonah would rather die than share a world with them. He does not break into worship or gratitude. Instead, he sulks under a plant and becomes even more despondent when it dies. It is both tragic and comic. A prophet of the Lord, so consumed by his own bitterness that he would prefer to wither in the sun rather than see his enemies forgiven. Jonah's true problem, however, is not just prejudice or pride. It is a failure to understand the heart of God. He knows God's character. Quoting almost word for word from Exodus 34 verse 6, that God is a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. But instead of rejoicing in that, he resents it. It is like someone angry that God is too good. Jonah wants mercy for himself, but justice for everyone else. God doesn't smite Jonah, though. Instead, he teaches through a vine and a worm. The vine brings Jonah comfort, and when it dies, He is devastated. But then God gently asks, if Jonah can care so much for a plant he did not grow, shouldn't God care about a city full of people and animals he made? It is an object lesson in divine compassion and a quiet rebuke to every self-righteous instinct in us. The book ends with a question, not a conclusion. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh? We never find out how Jonah answers. Perhaps that is intentional. The real question is, how will we answer? This story holds a mirror to every believer and church tempted to hoard grace, to weaponize morality, or to resist extending mercy to those people, whoever they are in our context. It challenges the tribalism in our hearts that says God's love must stay within our circle, our denomination, our politics, or our ethnicity. As the Congolese proverb says, when the music changes, so does the dance. Jonas's music had not changed. He was still dancing to the beat of revenge and religious elitism, even after being shown mercy in the belly of a fish. God's mercy changes the rhythm. Can we learn a new step? Theologian Howard Thurman once wrote, it is not your duty to heal the whole world, but neither are you free to ignore it. We are not called to be gatekeepers of grace, but vessels of it. When we love God, we love whom he loves, and he so loved the world. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, who are the Ninevites in your life, those you struggle to believe are deserving of God's mercy? Number two, have you ever been more concerned with your own comfort than with God's mission? And now our practical exercise. Write a prayer today for someone you struggle to love. Name them, bless them, and ask God to show you how to extend grace toward them, even if only in thought or word. Merciful Father, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, thank you for not giving up on us when our hearts are small. Enlarge our vision. Help us to rejoice in your mercy, even when it makes us uncomfortable. Let us be conduits of your compassion, not barriers to it. Teach us to love as you love, freely, fiercely, and without favoritism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forever.